Welcome to the online home of Providence Christian Church in Cape Coral, Florida. If you would like more information, visit us online at providencecapecoral.com. Now may the Lord bless the preaching and the hearing of His Word.
Our Heavenly Father, we turn our attention to You. We ask that this time would be pleasing in Your sight, that it would be glorifying to You, that You would be worshipped and praised by the words of our mouth and by our actions this evening. We thank You for the precious gift of the Lord Jesus.
Merry Christmas. Is what God is calling us to do. When what He does is actually rejected by the Lord. Let me read to you this parable just to refresh your memory on some of the details, which begins in Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus tells the story, he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." We love this story, particularly because of the way in which father receives the rebellious child back into his company. But as I said earlier, as familiar as we are with this story, we're still prone to getting it wrong. When we think about our relationship with the Lord, what do I need to do to be right with Him? What do I need to do to be right with Him again? We find ourselves naturally trying to emulate the son who comes up with a plan, comes up with terms, offers. "These are the things that I will do if you will but receive me back. I will make promises to you, and if they sound good enough to you, you'll receive them and we'll be good again." Do that for two reasons. One, we have too high a view of our ability to keep such promises. And secondly, we have too low of a view of our God's desire to show us mercy. He doesn't want your offers. He doesn't want your terms. He rejects them. He wants you. He wants me, and He desires to do the very thing He delights to do, and that is to clothe you in the garments of salvation. You know, one of the ways in which we can better understand this story that Jesus told, as I said, probably his most popular story, is to realize that he's retelling a story. He's retelling an old story tucked all the way back in the book of Genesis, but he is giving it a new spin. He's injecting new flavor into it. As Jesus would have told this story, his audience would have said, "Hey, wait a minute, we know this one. You're not making this up on the spot. You're retelling the story of Jacob and his brother Esau." That's a story that maybe you're not as familiar with, but let me rehearse some of that with you so that we can see what Jesus is doing here, in order that we might see the heart of our God, who has called you here tonight. The book of Genesis tells us the story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau, who were the sons of a man by the name of Isaac. Toward the end of Isaac's life, he was going to give his blessing and bestow inheritance upon his boys. And in those days, when you gave the blessing upon the sons, they could not be retracted. Jacob was the younger son, and as the younger one, he was going to get a smaller piece of the inheritance. Esau was the firstborn. He was going to get the bigger piece of inheritance. And so what does Jacob do? Jacob, with his mom, schemes, deceives, lies, cheats. He finds a way to steal the blessing of his older brother. And many of you know the story. Isaac's eyesight is failing, and so Jacob dresses in a way that makes his dad think that he's his older brother. And the father blesses Jacob because he thinks he's Esau. And so Jacob, in a sense, he tricks his dad and steals the blessing, the larger piece of the inheritance. And there's nothing Isaac can do. In those days, when you give the blessing, that's that. And so, of course, Isaac, the father, is angry at his son for what he's done. And of course, Esau's ticked. And Esau says, "If I ever get my hands on that younger brother of mine, I'm going to kill him." So this is what Jacob does. He leaves home. He goes off to a faraway country where, among other things, he tends to animals. But at some point, Jacob wants to come home. He wants to see his dad. Of course, there's a problem. The problem is his brother, Esau, the older brother who he stole the blessing from. Jacob knows if I go back, Esau might kill me. And in fact, Jacob hears Esau has 400 armed men, and they're actually coming to see him. So Jacob does two things. First, he prays. This is what he says to God. He says, "God, I am not worthy to be your servant. Please deliver me from my brother." Then the second thing he does is he tries to bargain. He tries to negotiate with his older brother. What he does is he sends wave after wave after wave of camels, donkeys, rams, male and female servants, all in an attempt to say, "I want to buy reconciliation. These are the terms. I'll give you whatever it takes. Just let me come home." And then one of the most surprising turn of events in the Old Testament happens. Before Jacob can even get back home, Esau sees him coming, his older brother, and comes to meet with him. And then listen to what Moses tells us, and you tell me if it sounds familiar. "Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." It's the only place in the whole Bible, other than the parable of the prodigal son, where this kind of behavior is described, where you've got two people at odds with one another, but then the offended party comes out and weeps, falls on the neck. It's a Hebrew idiom, meaning they collapsed on each other's shoulders, and Esau's tears fall all over Jacob. And Esau says, what was with all those waves of gifts? What was with all the animals? And Jacob says, I am trying to make things right with you. And what does Esau say? He says, I don't want them. I don't want those things. What I want is my brother. I've got now what I want, and it's you, Jacob. Come home. Let's go home together. You see, that's the story behind Jesus' story. Jesus is retelling the story of Jacob and Esau, but with a twist. I mean, consider some of the parallels. Both stories involve sons, father, and the issue at play is inheritance. In both stories, it's the younger brother who sins against the family. In both stories, the younger brother goes off to a faraway country and, among other things, tends to animals. In both stories, the younger son wants to come home. In both stories, the younger son tries to negotiate terms. Jacob sends camels and donkeys and rams and servants. The prodigal son says, I will hire myself out to you. Treat me less than a son. Whatever it takes, accept my offer. In both stories, the only places in all of Holy Scripture do we have the offended party running out to the sinner, weeping, falling upon the sinner, grabbing them and saying, I'm so pleased you're home. Listen again how Jesus describes the father and the prodigal son. The prodigal says, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. Ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes for his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was lost. He was dead, but now he is alive. They began to celebrate. And this is where I suggest we often get the story wrong. We rightfully say, if we want to be right with God, if we want to get right with God again, we have to see ourselves as the prodigal son. But what I would say to you is that what he does not model is saving faith. He models someone who is like Jacob, who says, what do I have to do to buy it? Treat me less than a son. Treat me as a servant, whatever it takes. Here's my terms. And I love that in the prodigal son, the father doesn't even give him a chance to get it out of his mouth. Instead, he says, get a robe for this man. Get him out of the pig-stenched clothing that he's wearing. Get a ring for his guilty fingers. And shoes for the feet that ran away from me. Because now I have what I want. He's come home. He's come home. Dress him like the son of the king. This is a father Jesus is presenting here, a father that cannot be persuaded. A father that cannot be negotiated with. A father who's not interested in your terms or mine, because nothing we can do can surpass what he has already done for us. He's not interested in you saying, I'll be better, I'll try harder, I'll do it differently next time. He clamps your mouth shut and says, just come home. Come home. I don't need persuading. The Father says, Jesus tells us twice in this chapter that when a sinner says, I am not worthy to come home, Jesus says twice, there is joy in heaven. You don't need to twist his arm. You don't need to bring terms. He doesn't want you to negotiate. He doesn't want you to make new promises. There's a reason why we have to make resolutions in a couple weeks, right? Because we lose them. We fail to keep them. He knows that. He knows you can't keep your promises. To be better, to do differently. He says, you come to me. You trust me. And I will dress you in the garments of salvation. I don't know where you are tonight, whether you know yourself to be that prodigal. It's in a faraway country, and you know you're feeding pigs now. You know you're miserable. Maybe you're here tonight and you're wondering, what do I have to do to get right with God again? What do I have to do to find again that joy I once had? Maybe you're not in a far-off country. Maybe you're like the rest of us, this pastor included. We just leave the house and go a block or two away. And maybe we don't smell like pigs, but we reek of lust. Reek of greed, envy, and gossip. Each and every one of us, one time or another, says, what do I have to do? What are the terms? And Jesus says, you come to me. You come naked. You come filthy. You come with your anger, with your doubts. You come with all the pig stench you've picked up in the faraway country. You come reeking of your lust and your gossip, your anger and your envy. And I will dress you in the garments of salvation. One last detail from that story of Jacob and Esau. Remember, Esau was the older brother. He was to receive the large portion. Jacob's the younger brother. And Isaac is the father with failing health and with eyes that were dying, the Hebrew says. He has poor eyesight. And so what does Jacob do? He says, I'm going to dress in clothing that makes my father think I'm my older brother. So that when I stand before my father and I'm dressed like my older brother, I'll get the blessing. So Jacob tricked his father. And he got the blessing of the older brother. It's the gospel in miniature, isn't it? Every Christian stands before a father who cannot be duped, cannot be tricked, who can see all things, but says, I delight. I delight for you to stand before me dressed as your older brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I can give you the full inheritance. What must you do? What must I do? Come home. The one who's brought you here tonight still scans the horizon in order to meet you and say, come home and be dressed. I will receive you without crossed arms or rolling eyes, no probation period. Come home, and there will be a celebration in heaven, and I will cover you with the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. So come home, be dressed, come home again and again and again until you see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, so long ago you came into our world and set your glory aside and took the form of a servant and were treated less than a servant in order that we might be adopted and treated as the very sons of God. We thank you that you have clothed us with the garment of salvation. We thank you that those who trust in you tonight receive the full inheritance, the full blessing, because we stand clothed in our elder brother's clothes before our Father. We thank you, Holy Father, that you love us, that you did not spare your own Son, but gave him up for us all, that we might be at peace with you now and reign with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be quick to run to you when we fail. And help us to adore you all the more until we see you face to face. In your name we do pray. Amen. Ask a couple of officers to come up now, if you would, and we'll start the lighting of the candle.
With the dark.
Thank you for tuning in for today's message. If you would like more information about Providence Christian Church in Cape Coral, Florida, visit us online at providencecapecoral.com.
The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Amen. Wonderful sermon.
Thank you.
Lots of mystery.
That sounded good, I thought.